are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, throughout the Old Testament times, the prophetic gift was in operation, and you heard oftentimes there's a prophet, there's a prophet, there's a prophet. And today, is that still the case, right? The first person to be called a prophet in the scripture was Abraham. If you read in Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, it denotes him as a prophet. And so we have that as an account, right? In the history of Israel, Moses was the greatest of all prophets as he communicated with God. The Bible would say in Numbers, not like all the other prophets, but in actual fact, he communicated with him face to face. And the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10 would also make this assertion very clear to say, hey, Moses is the guy. Now, the question we want to have is to say, what exactly is this gift of prophecy all about? And can we still find prophets in our day and age today? So we invite you to share your thoughts, your comments with us. Ask your questions. Let's hear what's going on in your mind when we talk the gift of prophecy. +27 73 470 3520. That number again, +27 73 470 3520. And let's have a chat about all things prophecy as we discuss this afternoon. Joining us in discussion is going to be our pastor. He's also leading out Mfundisi Katerere, who we're trying to just connect with him. I'm not too sure the pastor not picking up why that is the challenge there. Let's see if we can try a different line so that we can have him joining us this afternoon in terms of addressing matters pertaining to prophecy and this gift that is found from scripture to be a benefit and a guide for us in this day and age. And today, we also want to be finding out as we go into this study, is it something that, this idea of prophecy, something that can still be found in this church today? Or did it end, like we were saying, with the Old Testament, your Moseses and the likes? But Pastor is joining us now. Good afternoon to you, Mfundisi, and welcome.
Thank you very much, and greetings to your viewers.
Thank you, Pastor. Trusting that we find you well this afternoon.
No, I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Marvelous stuff. Marvelous stuff. Mfundisi, let's start off by identifying the prophetic gift, right? Please talk to us about this in the Old Testament times and when, how, and why God starts speaking. Why did he start speaking through prophets and not like he did in some of the moments where he would come down, I mean, Sinai, and he spoke to the children of Israel by himself? Why did he rather choose to use prophets?
I want to start by saying the prophetic gift in the Old Testament, it's one of the most powerful and consistent ways that God spoke through and communicated to his people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, about how and when it started,
and the first prophet
that is mentioned explicitly, it's in Genesis chapter 20, verse 7.
Okay.
That was Abraham. Even though we know him primarily for his faith and all that, God called him a prophet because he spoke on behalf of God and he also interceded for others during that time. But the formal prophetic office itself, it becomes clearer during Moses' time, during the Exodus.
Mm.
Moses is regarded as the foundational prophet. If you read, I think that's Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. Let me just read it here. It says, there's not risen a prophet since in Israel like Moses,
mm-hmm.
whom the Lord knew face to face.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the development of prophecy actually being more clearer during Moses' time. And after Moses, we see God raised prophets like Samuel, who were both a priest and a prophet. They helped the transition for Israel from the tribal governance that they had to the monarch system. So you see prophets actually acting a pivotal role within the affairs of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, that becomes the beginning of prophecy, and we see it throughout. And the how part of it, Numbers 12, verse 6, it says, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. So that's clear from the word of God. So God used, on the prophets that I've just mentioned, we see God using them, speaking to them through visions, through dreams. We see Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah through visions and dreams. We see Moses, there's direct speech where God is audible enough to speak to Moses. We see also symbolic acts. God spoke through parables as well. So we see Hosea's marriage is also an example of that.
Yeah.
Though this one could be something to be discussed debated on a different day, I to some extent believe Adam was one of the first prophets.
Okay.
It's something that we can debate on another day.
But I like how you're putting a disclaimer to say, don't ask me questions. I like the disclaimer then for this. Don't ask me questions on this one, please. This is a debate for another day.
Yes, please.
Mpunisi, thank you for the pointers, but you haven't addressed the why. Why would he go this route, though? I mean, why use other human beings to speak on his behalf?
That's a good pertinent question.
Mm.
The first thing that comes to my mind, he wanted to reveal his will.
Okay.
So prophets were God's chosen instruments to guide, to warn and instruct people when they strayed at any particular time. But not only to reveal his will, we also find prophets being used to call for repentance. So they were there, it was also to call for repentance. We see Israel was often in idolatry and there was a lot of injustice. So we find prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and even Amos. They were sent to call the nation back to the covenant faithfulness. We also find in some instances they were there to encourage and to give hope, especially during the times of crisis when they were in exile, in the foreign oppression. These prophets, they provided hope. We find Daniel, we see Ezekiel, they spoke about restoration and about the future glory. There is also another reason that comes to my mind.
Okay.
To foretell the coming of the Messiah. Now, which is something that touches us even to today. So the prophets, they consistently pointed to a future Redeemer with detailed prophecies about his birth, his mission, his suffering, and the kingdom that was to come. We can read Isaiah chapter 53 as an example.
Okay.
Even Micah chapter 5 as an example. So we see the reason why we had these prophets to tell the coming of the Messiah, to encourage, to call for repentance, or even to reveal the will of God.
Mm. That's nice. And thank you for that clarity as well. Is there anything to speak to, Mfundisi, looking at the fact that there is almost like a change in God's approach, if you will? You look at the first prophet, like you said, which you said could be a comment or statement that can be discussed on another day, Adam, that God would speak to him face to face. When the first interaction of God with mankind is not through an intermediary. He speaks to his children. He would come in the cool of the day and have conversations, personal conversations with him. And you find the same within Moses, who he also interacts with on a personal level. Is there any reason why God wants to use an intermediary and not just come direct?
I would think of a number of reasons.
Okay.
Reason number one, if we would go back to the sacrificial system and the sanctuary system, the vessel that God chose was supposed to be clean for God to be able to use them. So I would think that when Israel sinned, there was a representative that God spoke through. And that representative, probably the first of the reasons would be they were worthy before God to be able to do that. But apart from that, let us also remember spiritual gifts. So this becomes, the gift of prophecy becomes an integral part even within the Israelites themselves. As they grew, as the numbers grew, I think there was need for a representative and for proper functional, we needed particular spiritual gifts among them. Leadership was one of the great gifts. There were many others, but I do believe that the gift of prophecy becomes an integral part within the lives of Israel, and not everyone had it. There were specific people who had it, even if we are to come to today. Not everyone has all the gifts. So particular gifts, particular people for a particular purpose.
Fascinating. And I like how you bring it now into a modern day. Let's make that journey. To say, if you're going to be considering the New Testament, for example, we're touching mostly on the Old Testament and you gave the functions of what prophets were all about, why they were chosen and so forth. In the New Testament, what is then their function? I mean, some of those purposes were already fulfilled. I mean, you talked about the coming of Christ and that's already done with. What do prophets do in the New Testament? And today, do we still even have prophets? What are they doing? Why are they needed?
So the prophetic gift in the New Testament, it plays a crucial role also in the life of the early church,
mm-hmm.
And it continues even to our lives or to the church, the modern day church.
Okay.
The gift is actually expanded. It's refocused through the ministry of Jesus, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost proves that this gift actually it does not completely change. But we see the function of the prophetic gift in the New Testament somehow a little bit more expanded. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, the Bible says here, just a moment, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So we see edification. That's building up believers spiritually. We see exhortation in there. That's calling believers to faithfulness, calling believers to obedience and courage. We see comfort also as a function,
mm-hmm.
Offering mm-hmm. hope and assurance in trials. So prophecy is primarily pastoral, spiritual, and not just predictive. When you look at how prophecy becomes in the New Testament, there's guidance and direction. We can see an example in Acts chapter 11, verse 27. They prophesied about the coming famine and later warned also Paul of imprisonment. So there is still that aspect of predictiveness within the modern day prophetic gift, but it stretches further, not just to the predictive nature of it. It mm-hmm. goes even to exhortation and many other aspects. It also... In this New Testament, it reveals hidden truths. 1 Corinthians 14, around verse 24, it shows how prophecy can expose the secrets of the heart, unbelievers to repentance and to worship. So it's still prophecy, but when you look at it in the New Testament, it's as if it has metaphorized, it has slightly changed, but it is a bit wider than it was in the in the Old Testament. It equips the church. It makes the church to mature. So we find the function being a little bit broader in the New Testament.
No, thanks for that, Mfundisi. And I think it's a very key point that it's that there's this growth and this expansion based on the spiritual gift. It's not rendered obsolete, as it were. I want us to touch on something that you were mentioning, this idea of prophecy as depicted in the writings of Paul, 1 Corinthians 14 in particular. And I want to make a point. Please just bear with me. I want to start it from chapter 12, right? On this idea of prophecy. In chapter 12, as he concludes the chapter, he's gone to town to express all the gifts and he's spoken to how they work together and how all of them are important. And then he then ends off in verse 31 saying, but eagerly desire the greater gifts, right? As though there are others which are greater than others, right? And then he continues in chapter 14, which is what you were reading to us just earlier on. He says, I'm going to read from verse 1 and then end off in verse 3, which was the one you spoke to us about. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he speaks mm-hmm. about the tongues, right? For anyone who speaks in a tongue must then have somebody who interprets. And if he doesn't, because he himself doesn't understand, I'm paraphrasing. Chapter verse 3, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men, and therefore almost giving a suggestion that prophecy is a greater gift. Would that be a correct understanding, in fullness, that the gift of prophecy is superior to other spiritual gifts?
So the gift of prophecy is highly valued in scripture.
Okay.
I do agree fully.
Mm-hmm.
But probably understanding the totality of scripture it can be able to help. Chapter 12, verse 4-7. There's a part that says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. To one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common gift. So no gift is self-generated. All they come from the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
And each gift is given for the benefit of the body of Christ, not to elevate a particular individual.
Yeah.
So when I look at the gift of prophecy, one thing that makes it look as if it is greater than all other gifts, it is the fact that when the prophet comes to us, it is a thus says the Lord. They have spoken to God, and they are here to be able to serve.
Okay.
And it's as if like there is a direct connection between the prophet and the person. When you go to Exodus chapter 3, maybe that's where it's a bit more clearer. When God says to Moses, you can go to Pharaoh, and Moses says, I cannot speak. Then Moses says, I have made Aaron such that when he looks at you, it's as if he's looking at God and he is the prophet. Now, it tells me the contact between the vessel and the giver is so close when you look at it from the gift of prophecy. When you look at the other gifts, it's as if like it's a bit distant to some extent. While there is, a connection between every gift, and every gift is given by the Holy Spirit. But for us to outrightly say the gift of prophecy is better than any other gift, so the person with the gift of prophecy outshines the rest of we cannot understand it from that perspective, because the body of Christ has got many body parts, and their functions, they are for the greater good of the whole body of Christ. So even the very any kind of spiritual gift that we have, it fits within the context of the body of Christ one way or another.
No, fascinating. And I like that disclaimer you're putting across, a very important one, Muruti, to say it's the gift that might be a bit superior or might appear much more useful and valued in God's eyes and in scriptural perceptive, but not the one who is gifted. It's not the gifted who becomes more superior. No. They are all equal. But the gifting itself might be the one that has some allusion to it. Mfundisi, our time is up, but I want us to touch a bit on this point. When you look at the Adventists, they've got a very particular keen understanding or appreciation of the prophetic gift. And talk to us a bit about what they believe about the prophetic gift, and especially in the last days.
So as Adventists, we believe in the prophetic gift, we believe this gift was given to the remnant church. It did not end with the apostles. Instead, it is one of the signs of the true church in the times of the end. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 says, then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against those who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus Christ. And 19:10 of the same book says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So from these verses, the Adventist church, we do believe that the remnant church, which is God's faithful people in the last days, will keep the commandments of God. That's number one. But they will also possess the testimony of Jesus, which is interpreted in chapter 19, verse 10, as the prophetic gift. So the gift of prophecy, according to the Seventh-day Adventist church, it was manifest in Ellen G. White. And she's not seen as replacing the word of God, but as a messenger of the Lord, like any other prophet in Scripture. Her writings, they provide guidance, they rebuke, they provide instruction and also encouragement, which fits within the template of the New Testament prophecies. So her writings, they cover topics from health, literally everything, the second coming of Jesus Christ and all that.
Okay.
So the prophetic gift in the end times, it serves several important purposes. And I'll just mention maybe three of those because of our time. It warns the world of the coming judgment. It calls also people to repentance. It exposes Satan's deceptions. But the others, it encourages, it strengthens, it guides the church to mission. And this prophetic gift can also be tested. So as the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we do believe to the law and to the testimony. Mm. If they don't speak according to this word, then there's no light in them. So the prophetic gift as seen in the writings of Ellen White, or as seen as Ellen White, the vessel or messenger of God, it is what we believe. And we do believe that her messages, they are, and thus says the Lord.
Fascinating, fascinating. So we're getting a comment here, and I was hoping that we would leave it for tomorrow, but you've already kind of touched on it. Are you saying that, Muruti, with this thus saith the Lord, that the writings of this Ellen White are inspired by the same spirit that inspired those of the scriptures, and are then in effect equal to the Bible?
So let us be able to separate these two things. Unfortunately, because of our time.
Okay, can I then do this? Then let's not rob the answer. Can we allow that you touch on it tomorrow as we begin tomorrow's segment?
That would be perfect. I think that would be perfect. Thank you.
Okay, then. Thank you so much, Muruti. Truly appreciate your time today as we went through today's segment. Introduction, if you will, on the gift of prophecy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.